Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
It's good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
Another awesome Sunday.
Yeah.
Is the show over yet? No, no.
No.
But shortly.
Yeah. Every second is closer to it.
I know it's middle of summer, but I'm not used to the half-hour show yet.
It's a bit different.
I should be, but by now. But anyway,
well,
we're going to move onward here. We're going to go to Acts chapter 12.
I'm there.
We were going to do Acts chapter 12 last week, but then we didn't. But I can't remember what we talked about.
We got to talking.
It was pretty cool. Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was a movement of the Holy Spirit. And you can go to giftofgraceministries.org and listen to all of that if you'd like, along with all the other shows going back to 2009. But we are going to get into Acts 12 because it's really kind of a cool chapter. It's the very early time of the church, of course, and there's some great things in here about people praying, well, the church being persecuted, people praying, the Lord intervening, and why don't we just get started?
Sure.
So let's see, Acts 12, let's see how far we should read. Well, why don't you read 1 through 4 first?
Okay. About that time, King Herod laid hands upon some members of the church to harm them. He had James, the brother of John, killed by the sword. And when he saw this, or when he saw that this was pleasing to the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. It was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He had him taken into custody and put in prison, under the guard of 4 squads of 4 soldiers each. He intended to bring him before the people after Passover.
So here's an interesting story. So persecution comes. Now, we saw, or we know, and you should know from your studies of the scripture, that before this, it was the religious leaders that were persecuting the new believers.
Mm-hmm.
In the first, from Acts, after Pentecost, really, well, starting with Jesus, obviously, but then in the book of Acts, you know, after Pentecost, there were a lot of persecutions, and we had Stephen, not you, but the other one, the first martyr who was stoned, and
right.
Saul, of course, was there holding his cloak. And now we're going to have another martyr here who was actually one of the 12. But now what is interesting here is that persecution now comes from a government leader, the king,
right,
a civil leader, not from the Sanhedrin, not from the high priest,
right,
not from the guys, you know, some subcommittee of Pharisees that decided it was time for a persecution.
Yeah.
But it was this guy, Herod. And this is not Herod that we heard about earlier in the New Testament. This is Herod Agrippa. And he's a different puppet. I don't know if he probably was related to the other Herods, but
right,
it's a different Herod. There were 3 of them. This was the 3rd one. And the Sanhedrin's not involved with this, but you know, if we go back to the 3rd and 4th chapters of Acts, we see that the Rabbi Gamaliel, who had taught Paul and was one of the foremost teachers, had told them, if this movement's from God, you won't be able to stop it.
Right.
If it's from men, forget about it. So maybe they were kind of like settled back saying, well, let's see what happens to this. So they weren't really involved in persecuting.
Right.
But this guy Herod, he was another one of these Roman puppets that was given some authority, even though, of course, it was at their pleasure. And unlike the other Herods, I looked this up last night because I wondered who this Herod Agrippa was, but the Emperor Claudius had given him control over Judea as well as Galilee. So the other Herods only were actually in control in Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
And the historian Josephus writes about him. So this was a real historical figure, and Josephus points out that Herod Agrippa lived in Jerusalem, and he was zealous for the Mosaic law.
Mm-hmm.
They're not sure if he was a Jew by birth or if he had become had been proselytized and come into Judaism, but he was zealous for the law.
Yeah. So he was not a believer himself.
Right.
And he had zeal for the law. As you were saying, he's not the same King Herod that at the time of Jesus' birth had all the infants put to death that were 2 years of old and younger. But again, he's a government figurehead. He's of the state, and he's not of the religious community per se. He's not the Pharisees. He's not the Sadducees.
Right.
So you're right. It's the first time that there is the persecution comes from outside of the religious leaders, the community of the Jews. I was going to say of a religious order, but it's the first time that happens.
Yeah, and we'll see more of this, of course, when the emperors get involved, and the persecution becomes very intense under the emperors.
Yeah.
But this is the first time someone in the land did it. So it says that it implies that he started a persecution of the church. And it said he began with some who were in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he went after specific people or if he went after, the head of each of the home churches or the home groups, because, we have to keep in mind at this time, there were no church buildings. You didn't go down the street and find, a church of believers.
Right.
Because they were meeting in houses.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't that many believers in the first place.
Right.
At this time. I mean, maybe a few thousand by this time, but they met, they taught in the temple during the day and they met in people's homes at night, where they prayed and they sang the songs and they broke the bread. And they basically had what we would call today house churches.
Mm-hmm.
They were home groups.
Yeah. What's interesting is that they would still go into the temple and they would teach, but they were teaching. Excuse me. They were teaching about Jesus.
Yeah.
And the resurrection.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
And yet not everybody in the temple, especially the scribes and the Pharisees, believed that Jesus was the Messiah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there was a contradiction there.
Yeah.
And, if you look in the first couple chapters of Acts of the Apostles, you see that they did meet in their homes. They broke bread together. They shared a meal together.
Mm-hmm.
And then they praised God together.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was the earliest, form of communal worship.
Yes.
As a believer in Jesus,
right,
the Messiah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the breaking, and when it says they broke the bread together, we also have to assume that this was the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, that they were doing what Jesus had commanded them to do, do this in remembrance of me, and as often as you do these things,
right,
and so forth. And obviously they weren't doing it in the, quote, church building, unquote. So they were doing this in people's homes.
Right.
And they probably thought it was pretty cool when one of the apostles came to their home church, or one of the guys that the apostles had ordained for ministry came to one of the home church. I mean, it would have been like a pretty exciting thing.
Yeah.
Although they had to be careful how public they were with it.
Exactly.
And then of course, when the church in Rome is persecuted by the emperors, it's a whole different story, because then they have to truly go underground and they're in the catacombs and they're killed and, turned into torches and fed to animals. I mean, it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, this was not that horrible of a thing, but it was still persecution. So when this Herod begins with, quote, some in the church, we don't know exactly who it started with and whether it was like a harassment or he started rounding up these people and imprisoning them. But then we find out he killed James. Now, this is James, the brother of John. This is the son of Zebedee. This is the, he's also called James the Major.
Mm-hmm.
Or James, as you call him? Yeah, James the Major. There's two Jameses that are apostles. You can't call either one of them Jim, by the way.
These are the sons of Zebedee.
Yeah, this is James, the son of Zebedee. Sons of Thunder.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he was one of the first apostles. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration when the Transfiguration occurred. Mm-hmm. You know, he had seen Jesus's ministry, well, more than seen it. He had taken part in it the whole time, would have been around at the time of the, of course, the crucifixion, but he's one of the ones who split. His brother John stayed at the cross. He was the only one of them that actually stayed there.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that James's brother was nearby, and he had witnessed the persecutions that had taken place, of course, because they would have all known each other.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe something he said in a speech or some public announcement that he made got Herod mad at him specifically. But, and because, you know, he's one of the guys, like you point out, the two brothers that are called the Sons of Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus called them that.
Yeah.
You guys were Sons of Thunder.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they had bad tempers or they were really had, they were big mouths or. But, you know, it's.
Their reputation preceded them.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting.
Here they come.
It's interesting that, you know, we all have different personality types. And you have these two guys. And it's interesting, too, that they're brothers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if the Sons of Thunder thing was, I think it came in response to, wasn't it when he said, hey, can we call down fire on those guys? Or
yeah, that might have been, that might have been it.
Yeah, but it's interesting that their personality type was obviously something pretty intense that Jesus said, oh, you guys are Sons of Thunder. You know, they weren't exactly like the, you know, mild and meek St. Francis or somebody like that that you could name, or Mother Teresa.
Even all that Peter would say, he didn't get the name of Sons of Thunder.
That's right.
So,
you know, the fact that he's called the Son of Thunder, he probably did something that made King Herod mad.
Could be.
He might have said, hey, listen, you.
I've heard about you.
Yeah. And it says they killed him by the sword.
Yeah.
And there's no description about how he was arrested. Did they have a trial? You know, did they just pick him up and say, come with us, and they killed him?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say if it was a public execution or a private execution. It just says they killed him by the sword.
Yeah.
So not only is he one of the first martyrs, but he was one of the apostles.
You know, I was going to say, and that, you know, it says here, and when he saw this, when Herod sees this, that after he has him killed by the sword, he sees that this was pleasing to the Jews.
Yeah.
So he proceeds to arrest Peter also.
Yeah. I just, oh boy, if they like this, they'll really like this.
So, yeah. So it's like, okay, oh wow, I have favor with these guys because I did this.
His numbers went up in the polls.
Yeah, his poll numbers went up. So he goes, I'm going to go get some more guys. I'm going to get some more of these trophies and hang them on my wall, so to speak. So, doesn't sound like a very God-fearing, righteous leader.
No. No. And the fact that he was able to kill one of the main apostles, I hate to use main apostle, but this was an inner circle kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus always took Peter, James, and John somewhere.
Right.
And killed them by the sword. The other James got thrown off the roof of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
So both Jameses were killed, but this one was killed by the sword. And not only were they called Sons of Thunder, but if you remember, it's in Matthew 20:23, Jesus asked, they're saying, can we sit at your right hand? And,
right.
And Jesus said to him, well, can you drink from the cup I'm going to drink from?
And they
can
piped
you be
right up.
Baptized from the, what I'm going to be baptized with? And they said, oh yeah, we can.
Yeah, they piped right up.
And he said, okay, then you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's one of them who said, oh yeah, we will, finding out what that means.
Right.
Now, his brother John was the only one who wasn't martyred of the apostles. He actually died an old man, but he suffered. They did, you know, Jesus' prophecy was fulfilled that they were going to drink from that same cup.
Yeah.
And, you know, St. Paul later points out, I can't remember what letter it's in, that, you know, if we suffer with him, we're going to reign with him.
Exactly.
So, you know, unlike what the prosperity preachers tell you, there's a lot of suffering involved for being a follower. You know, James, as an inner circle apostle, certainly didn't get the mansion, the nice job, the sports car, and the big bonus at the end of the year. He was killed by the sword.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that is not prosperity and riches from the world.
No. No.
No.
No. And so this martyrdom, of course, it's a, there's been so many martyrs in the history of Christianity, and even in the, our modern times, there's been so many people martyred for their beliefs, and the 20th century had so many martyrs, and although we're only 18 years into the 21st century, had a lot of martyrs already, especially in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you sit back and you say, you know, what's, Lord, what's the point of this? What's the point of James being killed like this? You know, couldn't he have gone out and preached and evangelized more people? And couldn't you have sent him to, you know, some other country and have him? Mm-hmm. But no, it was God's will that he was going to be martyred at that time in that place.
Yeah.
And one of the first believers to be martyred. And, you know, this is one of these things that is not always easy to explain. And it's not always easy to say, oh, yeah, you know, if they come after me, they can martyr me. You know, it's easy to say when you're sitting in your living room and you're nice and comfortable.
Yeah. Now, your first instinct is going to be to protect yourself, usually, most likely.
But yeah. so many believers at that time and even in our time will not give up their faith in Christ, not recant what they believe and say, well, if you want to kill me, you'll have to kill me then.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the moment that that becomes an issue, you know, Jesus himself said, don't think about what you're going to say.
Right.
Because it's going to be given to you.
Right.
The Holy Spirit's going to tell you what you're going to say. And most of the time it's, well, you can go ahead and kill me, but I'm not going to renounce my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to turn from my faith. So go ahead and kill me. And this was probably, now imagine how the other thing I was thinking about last night when I was thinking about this show was how those other apostles would have felt when they got the news that James had just been killed. This was, you know, they had lived 3 years with this guy.
Yeah.
And they were tight with this guy, if you can use that term. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were together every day over 3 years. And even since the time of the ascension, that now the church was starting to grow, they worked with this guy pretty much every day.
Yeah.
And now they got word that Herod had had him killed with the sword.
Yeah.
So this would have been kind of sobering to them too.
Yeah. It makes you think what they're, you know, they had seen Jesus crucified, but he rose from the dead.
Yeah.
So they saw him, right? You know, they saw his resurrected body and he was with them for 40 days. But here, you know, they're seeing one of their brothers in the Lord put to death.
Yes.
Martyred for the faith.
Yes.
From, you know, from the, excuse me, from the accounts of Scripture and in the writings of the New Testament, it doesn't appear that they diminished or they retracted from proclaiming that Jesus was Lord and Savior.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean that they probably didn't have a, you know, that they weren't in some way tried by this to understand, okay, wow, what's, you know, what's taking place here? Why is this persecution taking place? But, you know, Jesus foretold them, I'm thinking of the one thing where, you know, he said, you know, you think I came to bring peace, but I didn't, because a father is going to be set against a son, a son against the father, you know, because the person who believes is going to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. The person who doesn't believe is set against that.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's no different than the religious leaders of the day who, the, you know, those Jewish people who believed that Jesus was the Messiah and those who didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And when King Herod sees that killing James is pleasing to the Jews that don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, when he goes after another one.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
And if he can get the number two or three apostle,
yeah,
figures I can get the number one guy.
You know, how often in throughout human history do you see is mob mentality the right word to use?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, okay, this is the thing to do. Yeah, let's go get them.
Yeah.
Very dangerous.
Yes.
Very dangerous. Because you're not interested in truth. You're interested in pleasing man.
Yes.
And you're not interested in pleasing God.
Yes.
You know, so.
Wow, that's an excellent point.
It's.
If you're trying to please a whole mob, you're going to do things more and more radical.
You know, a lot of times in our culture, we think that if you're, I was thinking about this the other day, is that when God says, you know, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways in Isaiah 55.
Yeah.
But how many times in our culture do people think that they need to be popular in order to be right?
Mm-hmm.
Being popular doesn't always mean that you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Standing for something that means something might mean that you're not on the side of the populace, but you are on the side of truth.
Yes, exactly.
Because the world isn't, as much as people like to think that the world is following Christ, it's not.
It's not.
You know,
news bulletin.
There's babies, you know, there's babies being killed every day, unborn babies being killed every day. There's people that are being killed every day in the name of Jesus Christ or for the name of Jesus Christ because they're being martyred.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's not something that God does not rejoice in the destruction of his creation.
Right.
You know, and when you have somebody that's willing to put another person to death because it pleases somebody, that's not the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Killing is never the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see in this example, it's like, okay, wow, I got a gold star for that. Let me go get somebody else and round him up and put him in prison.
Sure. Yeah, and he goes and gets Peter, who's like the head guy.
He's the head guy.
He's going to get the head guy next. But
all is not lost.
But, you know, these Jews who were so happy about this and so excited about this, and, of course, by this time, Saul of Tarsus had already been converted. But had this happened, you know, before chapter 9.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Saul of Tarsus, the future Paul, would have been the first one there going, yeah, let's go get the rest of them.
Yep.
But he was out of there by then. But if these people would have thought back through their scripture and seen how so many of the prophets were persecuted and so many of the prophets were martyred, they should have had a different view of this.
True, and we really don't know if they did.
Yeah,
because Jesus himself told the Pharisees, you know, you say that you would recognize Messiah, but you're just like your fathers that persecuted the prophets and killed them.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't like that.
Yeah, exactly.
But he spoke the truth to them because every prophet that God sent, they were killed.
Were killed, yeah. And persecuted before that.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted to listen to him. And, you know, get out of here. We don't want to hear this.
Yeah.
We want somebody to bring us some good news.
So there's, you know, and you bring up a good point there. There's really nothing different here other than the fact that, and it's an important fact, that now Jesus has died, rose from the dead, and is the Messiah.
Yeah.
Excuse me. He's the Messiah. What has changed is there's a Savior now.
Yeah.
What hasn't changed is the truth or the Word of God is still being persecuted, just as the prophets who spoke the Word of God to the people of Israel in ancient days.
Yes.
Now, the prophets or the apostles who are, you know, proclaiming the Word of God, the good news, now they're being persecuted because of the name of Jesus.
Yeah. And in our time, the word is still being persecuted. In our country, we haven't come to bloody martyrdom yet. But
not yet.
Our ideas, our moral teaching, our moral beliefs have been under attack by the world system.
Yeah.
And I know the music's playing already.
It is.
I'm just getting warmed up. Well, anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that as the faith of the apostles may have been tried at this point in time, that you too would come to a deeper faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, even in times of trouble. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giuliani and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.